Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
We're going to head out to the fan hotline and welcome on one of the best to do it of college football news, Pete Futek. Pete, what's up, buddy?
Can I ask you the question? I live here in Chicago, and it's the big deal. Like, oh, my gosh, you know, they're going to probably build a new stadium and get rid of Soldier Field, which is the worst located stadium in the United States. So, like, and no one really has a real hard opinion on this. Is there an opinion one way or another on isn't Cleveland Stadium all right?
Read too many opinions,
yeah.
Pete, is the problem.
Yeah, dare say. Too many opinions, and
basically everyone you run into has an opinion on it, and they feel either very strong one way or another. I'm in the build it in Brook Park camp, but there's a lot of people that just want to keep it downtown.
Yeah, like are they trying to get a Super Bowl in Cleveland? I mean, are they
yes.
going to like?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the goal. Everyone's goal is to get a Super Bowl or a Final Four and all
a WrestleMania and whatnot.
Taylor Swift concerts, you know, the whole deal.
Exactly. So I sort of get it, but like. Yeah, I seem to think that the stadium in Cleveland was not necessarily an issue, but what do I know? I'm just a simple college football writer who does this kind of stuff.
Well, Pete, Ohio State's off after the win over Ohio. They've got Washington next weekend, then they've got Minnesota, then Illinois, then Wisconsin, Penn State after that. When will Ohio State actually be challenged in one of these games?
Soon, I mean that, but that's the for all the you know the screaming, yelling, and we've talked about this over the last several years. Whenever Ohio State loses to Michigan or to a Penn State, which hasn't happened lately, but or one of these big games, they lose to the big guys. You know, you don't have the losses to a Minnesota or a mediocre Washington or so that's that. It always gets lost. In, like, for example, the James Franklin, oh, he can't win the big one. Yeah, but he's winning 70% of the game. So find the other guys who aren't losing to a Vanderbilt or a mediocre team like that. So the long-winded way of saying Penn State will challenge them, you know, but that's kind of about it for a while.
Pete, I want to run by the idea I had, and I just want to see what you think about it, because I feel like you're very open to these type of ideas, but you also might just say it's dumb. Jeremiah Smith's odds have improved for the Biletnikoff Award. He was 3-1, now he's 2-1, and you can make an argument that in the Texas game, he was basically just a non-factor, and then for the remaining two games that the Ohio State Buckeyes have played, he's been legitimately awesome, the way that you would expect when you go up against like a Grambling State for Jeremiah Smith to be awesome. My idea is that if you're in one of the major four conferences, the games you play against other major conferences, those count for the Heisman. Everything else gets thrown out.
Do you remember who won the Biletnikoff last year?
No clue.
Neither do I, actually. It's kind of funny you say that because I don't remember. Travis Hunter didn't win. By the way, I still say Cleveland completely fleeced Jacksonville and all this, but it's probably obvious, but I don't remember either.
It was Travis Hunter.
Okay.
It's actually Fred Biletnikoff.
yeah.
Actually, the list of names that have won it is very impressive, all things considered. Going to Jerry Jeudy, Jamar Chase, Devontae Smith, Jordan Addison, Jalen Hyatt's kind of a miss there, and then Marvin Harrison Jr. and Travis Hunter.
Yeah, and then you keep going from back there, you've got a lot of guys who went early, and mostly from Oklahoma State or Texas Tech, who you have a couple of good players in there, like Crabtree and like Justin Blackman with the bus. But yeah, it's so what's funny about what you said is you're asking Biletnikoff, not Heisman, because he's not going to win the Heisman. I mean, it took something quirky for Travis Hunter to win. I still refuse to believe that he won. I mean, I didn't put him on my ballot, but that's just me. Biletnikoff, okay, because it is a perception. Remember, these are all popularity contests. It's what the writers see. So if he goes off in the massive games, and remember, the whole thing was he was good, obviously, throughout last year, but he was consistently really good. He didn't become this until Oregon, until the Rose Bowl. You know, then all of a sudden, like, oh, my gosh, he is an unstoppable force. And, that's because everyone finally saw him blow up. So one way of saying, yeah, okay, Biletnikoff, I guess, but not Heisman. But even though there's no one really in the
Heisman.
Well,
so I want to take it all across the board, quarterbacks, wide receivers, everyone, and just only use the stats when you play big-time programs and big-time – it's essentially big-time programs and not like when you play a Grambling State.
A little bit, but they add up. And so you do need to – it's you're asking then these people who vote on this stuff to actually do work and research it and to be like, oh, yeah, you actually, you know, did put up a bunch of – and sometimes it works the inverse. Like last night I was getting a texting argument with my friend who was complaining, oh, look at Ashton Janty. Oh, I'm never, you know, taking Boise State guys in my fantasy league. He was he just blew up San Jose State. And I was like, yeah, look what he did against Oregon last year. Like it's – look what he did against everybody. So they do add up. And so, yes, it does help if you do those sorts of things. What you don't want are the guys who have the monster games against the Gramblings and the, you know, the easy teams and then kind of, you know, do 5 for 42 against, you know, the Texas and Michigans of the world.
Pete, it's a sneaky good weekend in the Big Ten. And the game that I think I'm most excited for is actually the Michigan game. Because I think Nebraska is going to beat Michigan, and it's going to be Panic Central in Ann Arbor, and I think it's going to be a lot of people putting big dreams on this Nebraska team. Am I off on this one?
Rightly so, and that's the thing. It's like at some point, okay, last year you get a free pass if you're Michigan because it's the year after the year and all that, and you know Harbaugh's the greatest head coach of all time and all that kind of stuff. But like now it's like, all right, well, bounce back. I mean, back in the mix again if you're really, you know, a national championship program like Michigan is supposed to be. The flip side to this is, you're right, I'm waiting. You know, everyone's waiting for Nebraska to be good again. There's a whole generation of people who don't know what it's like for Nebraska football to be good because, really, they haven't been – this program has not been even remotely close to anything important since they got walloped by Miami in the end of the 2001 season for the national championship. They've always had like two or three losses, even when they went and played in Big Ten and Big 12 championships. So this would be the first time that Nebraska becomes relevant to anybody outside of Lincoln, Nebraska, and old people like us. The flip side of this, though, is look at Michigan's schedule. You know, I don't think they're that good. I don't think they're any sort of national championship team, and they can certainly biff at USC or drop one at home somewhere. If they beat Nebraska – they're at least favored against everyone until the Ohio State game. And then let's say they lose to Ohio State, 10-2 Michigan gets into the college football playoff and probably gets roasted right away, but they'll probably get there. And that's kind of what these games are. And that's, you have to kind of look at these to a different lens, like Illinois, Indiana, look at their remaining schedule. The winner of this is deep in the mix to get to 10-2. And that's really the goal here. And to get really deep cuts on you, the biggest game of last weekend was Cal beating Minnesota, which nobody watched because it went until 3 in the morning East Coast time. But look at Cal's schedule. They miss everybody. They don't play Clemson, Miami, or Florida State. They, beating Minnesota, they're going to be 11-1 or 10-2. So like these kind of off-the-radar games that aren't Ohio State and Penn State and Oregon and Georgia and Alabama, they matter in this whole college football playoff thing.
Was Deion just a product of Shador and Travis Hunter being awesome?
I think so. I still will contend that if anything, if it was even possible for the most overhyped team ever in college sports to be underrated, I actually think Shador was underrated. I dogged, you know, Travis Hunter, like I said, not on my Heisman ballot last year. Shador was better. Shador was actually like historically good last year to the point where Coach Prime trusted his son enough, and he actually said as much. He's like, if you get, you know, what do you like? Well, Michael Jordan is supposed to be the one who shoots the ball. Well, if I got Shador, I trust him to throw the ball instead of, you know, running it or running out any other sort of play. And Shador was just, again, historically accurate, historically good. But the problem with Coach Prime's team is it's the all-frosting, no-cake team. I mean, you can't, you're getting a lot of transfers is great, but you got to recruit the guys and build, and it takes several years to get five good offensive linemen in place. And they just, they took a nothing program and made it into something relevant. The bad is there's just no real hard foundation there to build off of.
Pete, keeping it back to the Big Ten here, Illinois versus Indiana. This is a road game for Illinois. I don't know, man. It's just tough to think that Brett Bielema's team could actually be a playoff team. Where are we at with Illinois? And I guess maybe Indiana as well with Fernando Mendoza.
I am completely at a loss on this one because I am stunned that Indiana is favored by almost a touchdown. I am kind of stunned that Illinois is not getting more respect, but I also am well aware of how this Illinois program works. It is the program that can't have nice things. It just every time, I mean, I'm old enough to remember Ron Zook era and Rose Bowl and Ron Turner going to the Sugar Bowl. And then, oh, here we go. Illinois is finally going to become a player, and nope. This doesn't happen. And just this team's good, though. You have Luke Altmaier, who's been around for forever. It is a really well-coached team. The lines have been great. The defense is a terror. This Illinois team is for real, and I think Indiana's kind of for real. I will be stunned by pretty much nothing about this game unless it's a blowout one way or the other. These are two evenly matched teams, and they're both good enough. They're not as good as Ohio State or Penn State or Oregon, but they're in the Michigan next tier category of teams that, again, might not win the Big Ten championship, but who cares? Go 10-2, get the 10th seed in the tournament, and you've done your job.
Pete, why do you feel like the quarterbacks that we've talked about for the NFL draft upcoming, this is, Ed Nussmeier, Klubnik, Sellers, Aller, all these guys, why does it feel like, we'll throw Arch Manning in the mix there too, why does it feel like they all just kind of underwhelmed?
Because they're all underwhelming. Look, I was just on another show, and I was asking, hey, what's the problem with Arch Manning? And I think it's a problem, and we just talked Shador, and it's the opposite of that. These guys are so freaking overcoached, and you can see it on every play. Like, take it to the NFL for a second, and, last week, Joe Burrow goes out, Browning goes in there, and they're just like, okay, just go. We're dead in the water now, so just do what you do. Browning throws three picks, but they win the game because he just goes for it, and just – all hope is lost. Let's see what you can do. And he was a quarterback and chucked it. Bryce Young, Carolina was down. All of a sudden, all right, just get out there and throw. And he was great. And now you got these college kids who are just everyone. Don't force anything that's not there. And check down and read and all that. And you can just see them. I call it the DJ Uyunglele-ing of college quarterbacks, where you've got these guys who have all the talent in the world. And their brains are scrambled because they've been yelled at to not do certain things rather than just grip it and rip it. So all these guys, I think once you get them out of this environment and get into the NFL and say, hey, be a quarterback and just go throw, I think they're going to be a lot better.
All right. Listen, Pete, you were so generous to move for us. You did a great job today. I really do appreciate you, and great stuff as always, bud.
Anytime, guys. Have a good one.
Thank you so much. Pete Futek there. College football news on the Fan Hotline. Strong stuff. I think this could be a really tricky weekend for Michigan because there's still a few things missing from Nebraska. However, the thing that Matt Rhule's done at Nebraska.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Team kicks the crap out of people in the trenches. And they don't have the talent to hang with Ohio State. They probably don't. They don't have the talent to hang with Oregon or Penn State. Anybody else in the Big Ten? I think Nebraska can do it, including Illinois in Indiana.
I mean, Vegas has this game close to a toss-up, you know. And like, I'm so worried about Bryce Underwood. I just don't know what to do with him yet, you know. Like, he had a lot of big boy throws. We'll call it against CMU, but it's against CMU.
You know? Are you talking about Rayola?
No, Michigan's quarterback.
Oh. I heard Bryce, and I was like, why is he talking about Bryce Young?
No, I don't need the Mahomes good, cosplay.
Good Lord. Hey, if it works for Nebraska this weekend, we'll react to what Pete had to say and get back to the Browns' big injury news that could help the Browns in this game in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. I made the update a couple days ago. I was getting ready. We were coming up the hill from my walk with my boy Mongo, and particularly strenuous day, did like... I can't remember, it was like 10 or 11 laps. And so he was panting. I was panting. I was sweating. He was panting. And I went to, he jumps up the stairs that go up to the house. And I went to step and noticed probably about a foot of what I'm pretty sure like at the smallest was like a 3 foot rat snake.
Yeah. Okay.
And I thought that I could, there was a moment where I was like, well, maybe I just walk around it. But then I was like, rat snakes are really fast. Like they shoot out all the time when I'm like mowing and stuff. And it always, it scares the you know what out of me every time.
Okay.
So like a coward, I just walked around and I was like, I don't want that smoke. Like in Step Brothers, where rather than walk through the neighborhood where the teenagers are going to beat them up, they just take the long way home because they don't want to eat white dog crap, right?
Yeah.
So this morning, so that was going up the steps. So this morning, I start walking down the steps. Now, mind you, when we were going up the stack, the snake was coming up from the grass up the steps. So I'm looking down at the last step to see if anything's climbing up. And I looked down, didn't see anything. And as I was like 3 steps in, and I went to go 4 steps down, and I looked past my foot, and there was a baby rat snake. And JP, one, head in a swivel.
Uh-huh.
Two, I did a bicycle kick in the air to leap over the final 3 stairs.
Okay.
It's the most athletic thing I've done in 20 years. And it was maybe a 6-inch baby rat snake. And the worst thing is, this one gave me the worst heebie-jeebies because it was coming out from under the stairs. So whereas the previous one was going up, coming out of the yard, up the steps, that gives me enough of the jeebies. But the idea that it's behind the rock wall where the steps are, and at any point from now till kingdom come, I could just be, I could be preyed upon by any number of rat snakes, I might have to move.
Do you have like a pest guy or no?
I got a cat. And she's great about killing everything. She kills bunnies that are twice her size.
But won't touch the snakes?
The snakes, I don't know that she sees them.
I did, by the way. I went to my backyard for the first time since the wasp incident over the weekend where I was mowing my lawn and I got bit by like 6 wasps all right in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Which they turned out, they came back later and said it wasn't wasps. It was... yellow jackets instead, which made me feel even worse about the whole ordeal.
Yeah.
And I went in my backyard for the first time, and I think I got my pest guy. He did a good job.
Okay, see.
Clear as day. It's all I needed.
This is what I struggle with, because as I get older, I'm trying to be kinder and gentler to all animals. And I know that there are people out there that love snakes. So even though I'm terrified of them, I let them be. When I was younger, I did not. Like a kid.
I got these snakes on this mother effing plane.
Yeah, but it's my life.
The whole movie. The whole movie was about these snakes on this plane. It disrupted everything.
So, it was the name of the movie.
So you got snakes in your mother bleeping house.
So ethically, I don't believe that I should remove these snakes. I don't, because they serve a useful thing. It's just
what useful thing do they serve? I genuinely do not know.
They actually kind of keep everything in balance. Like they do keep the rodent population. There's other ways that they like impact the local. So like I've got a lot of animals around. It makes a lot of sense to just leave them be.
Well, so
the,
if you
the problem is they're not letting me be.
If you let them be, what animal are they taking out? Because that's what I need to know.
Like,
because you're trying to figure out which one you're swapping out for here, right? Like, if they take out little insects, I'd rather have the little insects than I would the rat snakes.
No, because if you take out certain little insects, then other little insects like ticks become more prevalent. I really need like a possum. I think I need to get like a garage.
We had a rally possum for a while. You could have lent him out.
I got a garage cat. I got a barn cat.
Yeah, but we've already decided the cat doesn't do enough of its work.
No. She's too busy on big prey, like birds.
I can tell you're very worried about disrupting the ecosystem attached to this all.
Yeah,
I get that.
Well, and I don't want to like be unjustly cruel because I'm a coward. Does that make sense?
Well, it's not cruel if like you just have a pest guy come out and they just redirect the snakes to other areas.
I don't think that's what the pest guy's
going to
do.
That's all that is.
It's just a redirect.
You got a pest guy for everything.
I know the guy, like if I wanted to spray for ticks, which we had a problem with in the spring. I know I can do
they
that.
They can get snakes out.
We got. Is it like Turtle Man?
Turtle Man?
Who is that hillbilly, the Cajun hillbilly?
We can find a guy for everybody, yeah. Turtle Man?
You've never heard of Turtle Man?
I don't know Turtle Man.
Oh my God, he's this Cajun dude
know.
Who would dive into swamps and he'd come out with like a 100-pound snapper. It would be snapping everywhere and he'd be like, I got him! Oh my God, that was good TV.
I've never watched Call the Wild Man Turtle Man. I've never seen it.
Oh my God. Now, if Turtle Man would come out, Turtle Man would look at me like I'm a wuss, though.
Well, I mean, this aired on USA. It's not like you acted like this is like primetime ABC programming
or
something.
Swamp People aired on History Channel and people knew it because it was awesome.
Yeah, Swamp People went on for like that went on for a million years. This had four seasons, 72 episodes. I had never heard of this guy. Okay. Never heard of Turtle Man.
See, the problem is they wouldn't get Turtle Man because he'd come out and think I'm a wuss.
Would he just get turtles, or did he do like more than just turtles?
I think it was just bad branding because he was. Tiger King,
you knew what Tiger King did, right? You need a tiger, you call up Tiger King.
Euthanized tigers unfairly.
Did Turtle Man only do turtles, or was he just he was all around?
I believe he handled many a snake. I believe he handled gators. I believe he was pretty well diverse in the reptilian community.
I think I figured out, by the way, why our generation is a real problem with snakes, because I just don't enjoy snakes either.
It's not going to be because of snakes on the plane, right?
No, it's because of Anaconda.
Oh, no. I've been
and they're remaking. They're remaking Anaconda, which I don't know that it's going to go great, but like I think a lot of people our generation, we watched Anaconda, and I think that's where that comes from.
So most of my fears are handed down by Jim Wilson. My dad, Jim, was terrified of snakes. I'm terrified of snakes. My dad, Jim, hated heights. I have a real bugaboo about heights. I think he just said these things. And I'm like, well, if he's afraid of them, I'm afraid of them too. As a little kid, I was like, this is a giant human being. If he's afraid of these things, I should be afraid of them too.
I think it's a very normal thing to be scared of snakes. I feel like a lot of people are scared of snakes.
Oh man, dude, even just thinking, I thought about it earlier today.
They're wild cards.
I did the heebie-jeebies. I did the, like that thing.
These snakes on this mother blippin' plane. That's what I would do.
It's like the way you say it.
That's what I would do.
You say it like an accountant.
Oh, these snakes!
You don't sound
on
like
this mother blipping plane.
You know,
I love it. That's
like
the whole movie.
It's like Seinfeld.
The whole movie is just that.
What's the deal with these snakes on this mother blipping plane?
Is there going to be a plot? Are we going to eventually do something? No. The plot is there's a lot of snakes on this plane.
They do something,
and they're disruptive.
They do something about the snakes eventually.
Yeah, it took us 2 hours to do something with them.
Well, you try and wrangle up a couple thousand snakes.
What's that pitch like in a movie? Like you're at a big studio, and it's like, I got it, guys.
I think it's literally like what you just said.
We're gonna put snakes on a plane. People are gonna love it.
And what are you gonna call it?
Snakes on a plane.
Yeah,
we're not gonna try to deceive people here. You're gonna watch the movie for the snakes on the plane, and then we'll see how havoc ensues.
By the way, never have seen it. You know why? Because I'm terrified of snakes. I didn't need that movie, man. All right? That movie, even the trailer. And I love Samuel L. Jackson. I want to watch Snakes on a Plane. But
you're telling me we got some snakes on a plane?
Yeah.
Yeah, Sam,
What's
we do.
What's the deal with snakes on this plane?
We got some snakes on this plane, man. Figure it out.
Justin Latta joins us in 5 minutes. We'll talk about the Guardians' big win on 92.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.